Northampton Kollel, Sunday, 15th of February 2009, Taf Aleph Shvat Toshin Samach Tes, Shir given by Gershon Hetmer, and we do Tehillim chapter Yud Dalet. I'll first get, as always, I'll go through the whole chapter first, just to get a feel for the whole chapter. Lamatzech LeDavid, a song for David, or for the conductor, a chapter Tehillim by David. Amar Novel Belibo, the fool, or the wicked person, says in his heart, Ein Elokim, there is no God. Hishchisi, they have destroyed. Hisivu, they have been disgusting. Alila, in their actions. Ein Osei Tov, there is no one does any good. Sorry, easy in that one. Yeah. This is chapter 14. Chapter 14. Yes, Shichais is destroyed. That's it. Oh, that's the one. Hashem Hishkif al Bnei Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down upon mankind from heaven, Liris, to see Hayesh Maskil, if there's anyone who is, Maskil, it's a good term, someone who's worthy, someone who's understanding, yeah, thank you. Deresh Estelukim, who seeks God. But the bad news is, Hakol Sar, everybody is turned away. Yachdav Ne'elasu, together they've all gone rotten. Everything's bad. Ein Esetov, no one does any good. Ein Gamechod, not even one. Not one person is doing any good. Bit of a depressing chapter. Halei Yadu'u Kol Parle Ofen, all those people who do evil, who do sins, don't they know, Ochle Ami, those who are consuming my people, Ochlu Lechem, who have eaten bread, Hashem Nekara'u, they have not called God. They've not called out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shom, over there, Pochadu Fochad, they have feared a fear, Ki Elokim B'Zeh Tzadik, because God is among a generation of righteous people. Atas Oni Tobishu, you have despised, or maybe you have embarrassed, the advice of the poor person, Ki Hashem Masehu, because God is his protection. Mi Yitein Metzia Mishlach Yisrael, if only the salvation of Yisrael would come from Tzion, it's like a wistful thought, B'shuv Hashem, when God brings back Shavus Amo, the captives of his people, Yogel Yaakov, then Yaakov will rejoice, Yismach Yisrael, and Yisrael will celebrate. So the chapter is a pretty depressing one. We're painting a picture of great Rishoyim, and at the end of the chapter, David HaMelech says, if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send Yeshua for Klal Yisrael from Tzion, which is from Yerushalayim, then Klal Yisrael would be able to celebrate. Okay, what is the chapter actually talking about? The theme of the chapter is talking about some group of Rishoyim. Which Rishoyim is a matter of Machlokus? Rashi learns, we're talking all about Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, we're talking all about Nebuchadnezzar. Also, by way of introduction, a later chapter in Tehillim, chapter 53, Nun Gimel, is almost word for word the same as this one. Very strange. There are a number of slight differences between them, a word here and a word there, but generally speaking, the chapter follows the same lines as chapter 53, and they are parallels. So Rashi says that our chapter is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and he came and he destroyed the first place of Mikdosh, while the second one, that's chapter 53, is talking about the destruction of the second place of Mikdosh through Titus. So the parallels, Chum by Shishan here, Chum by Sheni over there. So let's have a look. Lamnatseach l'dovid. Let's start with this word Lamnatseach. We've spoken before about the word Lamnatseach, and every time we've spoken about it, I found an extra chiddush so far. And I'm hoping to add one more small thing here. We first came across the word Lamnatseach, I think, at the beginning of Perek Dalet. So I'll just go through the main shotim on it. I mentioned last time I found a sefer called Mevo HaMikra, which points out, and I haven't checked this, that there are 54 chapters of Tehillim which all begin with the word Lamnatseach, which is just over a third. You've got 150 chapters, and 54 begin with the word Lamnatseach. what does it actually mean? Rashi at the beginning of Perek Dalet says it's an expression of being mischazik and strengthening yourself in the Avodas Hashem, and it's a message to the Levim.
Don't forget the word
The word Lamnatseach, that's right, because the Levim sang the Tehillim in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's a message to the Levim, Lamnatseach, be successful, be strong in your Avodah, and don't be lazy in your Avodah, but do a good job of your Avodah in the Mishkan, or in the Beis Hamikdash.
It's when Netzach is sorry.
Yeah, Netzach means eternity. Yeah.
Eternity.
And that's another idea here, that this chapter should last Leonovers, Lam Natzach, should be Lo Netzach. The Matudas Tzion there in chapter Dalet brings this very humorous pshat, that it's an expression of the Levitical choir. Why? The Levim's choir. Why? Because in a choir, it says everybody in the choir is struggling for their own vocal supremacy. They're all trying to get their own voice heard. So Lam Natzach is to be Menatzach, is to vanquish someone else, to conquer someone else, and each one, Reuben wants his voice to be heard over Shimon's, which actually to me sounds like the makings of a really bad choir.
You're trying to be overheard.
Yeah, that's not the way of singing a good choir. Good choir, the voices will blend well, and everyone will do what they're told.
Yes.
You know. Anyway, the Ibn Ezra brings this pshat of Lo Netzach forever, and he brings another pshat which is usually taken to be the main pshat, that Lam Natzach means to the conductor. And when I checked out my recording on the last chapter Yud Gimel, which also began with Lam Natzach, Dr. Shapiro, your voice was there saying that the word Lam Natzach is used in Ivrit today. The Manatzach is the conductor of an orchestra. Yeah, it's the Manatzach. I didn't know that. Yeah. Last time I also brought the pshat from the Gemara in Pesachim Kufiyat Tet Amud Aleph, where Lam Natzach is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the view, I will allow you to conquer me with your tefillas. Menatzach, I will, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I will make you notzeach. And he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Menatzach, he will allow us to conquer him with our tefillas. At the beginning of chapter Yud Dalet, no, sorry, beginning of chapter Yud Gimel, the Targum translated the word Lam Natzach as L'Shabocha.
Thank you very much.
Lam Natzach Mizmer is L'Shabocha Tushbachta. L'Shabocha. Here we have it slightly differently, because it's not Lam Natzach Mizmer, it's just Lam Natzach. And our chapter, in the Targum on our chapter, gives it as L'Shabocha, a praise, Beruach Nevuah. New words here, Beruach Nevuah, with a spirit of Nevuah, of prophecy. So, slightly different here. So, there we are. I've managed to be Mechadish something on this word Lam Natzach, even though we've now had it several times. Oh. We just think, Chapter Yud Aleph.
Many explanations. It's not
what it means. The main shot, most of the translations leave it as to the conductor.
Yeah.
To the conductor of the choir in the Beis Hamikdash, Lam Natzach. Yeah. So Lam Natzach le David. So Rashi explains that our whole chapter here is chapter Dalit is talking all about Nebuchadnezzar, who came to conquer Yerushalayim and who took control of the first base of Mikdash. And here we have an apostle Lam Natzach le David. He is this Omar novel belivo, the novel. And who is the novel? That is Nebuchadnezzar. He's described as a novel. Now, the word novel is a fascinating word, and we'll come on to it. But we'll take a simple shot, it just means an idiot or a fool, but it has far-reaching translation.
It means Israel, novel to
Bible. Exactly, Israel. Exactly. Novel to Bible, coming on to it. Yesterday, exactly.
Yeah.
Yesterday says your novel to Bible, which means you'll become tired.
Yeah.
You'll begin. Yisro says to
wear yourself
out with the way you're charging Klan Yisro.
Yeah,
novel to Bible. It means to be worn out. It's also an expression of an unripe fruit. Falls off the tree, no vlos. It's Mishnah Gimel in Perek Vav of Brachos, describing what brachos make on no vlos, which is fruit that falls off the tree before it's ripe. You don't say Breker Eitz, you say Shahakol. Okay, so that's the idea of novel. So here in our pasuk, Nebuchadnezzar, according to Rashi, it's Nebuchadnezzar, is described by this word novel. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, and we're on Yeshaya chapter Yud-Dalet, pasuk Yud-Dalet, where the prophet describes what Nebuchadnezzar himself said. Oh, So Nebuchadnezzar says, "E'ele albomosei ov." Very arrogant statement from Nebuchadnezzar. He says, "I will climb up. I will elevate myself albomosei ov over the very over thick clouds or over many clouds." In other words, I'm a big shot and I can climb to the highest heights. Edameh le'elyon. I will compare myself le'elyon to the high power. So that's he's a big shot. Yeah, referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that says Rashi, that is a statement brought in Yeshaya, which is attributed to Nebuchadnezzar, echoing the expression in our pasuk, "Amar Novel Belibo Ein Elokim." There's no God. I'm the top brass. I'm the kingpin round here. Ein Elokim. There's no God. And Edam Eloyon. I'm as good as he is. I can take over the world. Which is indeed what he thought he could do. Okay, another interesting piece of Targum on our pasuk. Unusually for us so far, I found some unusual Targum. Normally, I'd love to the Targum and I just pick out one or two snippets. But here I found in our pasuk a few pieces of Targum which took me by surprise. So the prophet, the Targum translates Ein Elokim. Oman Avol Belibo Ein Elokim. There's no such God. He says he just adds in a phrase here. Leist shultana de eloka va'ara. There's no power of God va'ara on earth. It's just a slight extension of what the prophet says. The prophet just says, in him there's no God. And the Targum takes on, what does that mean? It means there's no God, God has no power over the earth. As in a little bit. The Metzudas David takes a slightly different line to Rashi. Rashi learns that this novel is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says it's not Nebuchadnezzar, but it's the chief of Nebuchadnezzar's army, who is a man called Nebuzaradan. And he's the novel, he's the one of whom we're talking. Now, of course, the Pasuk speaks that Hishchisu, they destroyed, Hishivu Alila, their actions were disgusting. Well, if we're referring to Nebuchadnezzar, or if you're referring to Nebuzaradan, of course the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash has not yet happened. So, and yes, it's put in the past tense. Hishchisu, Hishivu Alila are both past tenses. So this David explains, this is quite common, it's quite normal, you often find Nevuas prophesying something that's going to happen, but they're written in the past tense. Why? Because it is such a certainty that it's going to happen that we write it in the past tense as though it has already happened. And the Bali Dikduk and the people who write on Tanakh call this, I heard this lashon from Clive Fistone, he says it's called a prophetic past. It's one of these fancy expressions that they make up. A prophetic past. So it's a prophecy, but it's written in the past tense. Why? Because it's a certainty that it's going to happen. I first came across this, I think, in the Radak in... What's the short term? In Avadia. The Radak in Avadia. I think it's in the Radak there. Again, where Nevuas were written in the past tense. So that's the idea here. Hishchisu Tziva Alila. We're talking about the destruction of the first place of Mikdosh. Hasn't yet happened. Written in the past tense. Why? Because it's an absolute certainty that it's going to happen.
As
though it has already happened. Because it's such a certainty. Yeah. Of course, we start with the word novel.
It's also in the past tense.
Pardon?
Omanovo,
yeah, sure, it's in the past tense. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, thank you. Omanovo Belibo, so Rashi knows novel referring to Nebuchadnezzar, Emelikin, that's one man, Nebuchadnezzar, Hishchisu and Hishivu Alila are both plurals.
Yeah.
So to whom we were referring? So Rashi says we're referring to the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. Ein Osetov, there wasn't one of them, there wasn't a single good soldier among them. You sometimes find, among the Rishonim, you find the occasional tzaddik. Yeah? I recently read a book about one of the Nazi officers, where one chapter in it spoke about a Nazi officer in Auschwitz who had rachmanus on a prisoner and helped him to escape, and the escape was successful. So, and he was, and it cost him his life. That the officer was shot for it. But, so you find these tzaddikim among the Rishonim, you find the occasional tzaddikim. So our pasuk says, no, in the Nebuchadnezzar's army, there wasn't one soldier who tried to talk Nebuchadnezzar out of it. That's how Rashi learns, they were all rotten, they were all terrible people, not one of them was a good person to try and stop the attack. Now the Medrash Shel Chatov tells us that Omar Novel Vilibo. The Medrash Shel Chatov and our Pasuk speaks a lot about this. This is what Novel, this Nebuchadnezzar or this Rasha says Vilibo in his heart. So the Medrash Shel Chatov is keen to point out the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, it's chapter Yud Zayin, it's Pasuk Yud. Yirmiyah chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ani Hashem Choker Leiv Bochim Kloyos. We echo this in Tefillah. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm Choker Leiv Bochim Kloyos. I know what's going on in your mind, I can see what's in your heart, and I can see what's going on in your kloyos, in your kidneys. We said HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on in our mind. So here's this Omar Novel Belibo, this Rasha, what's the evil thoughts that are going on in his mind. Ein Elokim, he doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in Yirmiyah, in Zayin Yud, Hashem says, no, I'm the Choker Leiv Bochim Kloyos, I know what's going on. So the Medrash Shel Chatov gives a beautiful moshel of an architect who designs a town. And within the town, he designs all sorts of secret places and hideaways. And after the town is completed, this architect is elevated to a great position. He becomes the mayor of the town, or the prince of the town. And there are Rishayim in the town, and he fights his own crime against, a war against the local criminals, against the Rishayim in the town. So what do the criminals do? They go and hide in all these hideaway places. And the prince of the town, who's the former architect who designed the place, he says, this is a joke. They think, I don't know where the hiding places are. I'm the one who designed them all. So same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rishayim, they might be a little bit embarrassed to express their rishus, so they keep it within them. And they think they can get away with it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, I designed you. I'm the Choker Leiv. I designed you. I know exactly what's going on in your heart. It's a very lovely moshel. Then the Medrash Shel Chatov brings a whole group of sukkim of things that Rishoyim have said in their heart, things that Rishoyim said to themselves. We'll start with it, and I'll give you the psukim. Bereishis, chapter Kavzayin, Pasuk Memalot, we have an Esav, where he expresses the wish to hurry, he can't wait for his father Yitzchok to die. Chapter Kavzayin, Pasuk Memalot. Esav was appalled, he hated Yaakov, despised Yaakov, because Yaakov took the bracha. And etc. Vayeme Esav belibo, Esav said within his heart, he said to himself, Yikavi me evalovi, halavai, I can't wait for my father to die, but I'll go as Yaakov achi, and then I'll kill Yaakov my brother. To Esav's credit, he wasn't prepared to kill Yaakov during the lifetime of Yitzchak, knowing it would break Yitzchak's heart. So that's to his credit. But you get the flip side of that, is he can't wait, halavai, he's halashing for his father Yitzchak to die, so that he can get on and kill his brother Yaakov. So Vayeme Esav belibo, this is what the Rishoyim say in their heart. Yes. Was that while Yitzchak was alive?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah.
And
so there's
an elephant goes off
the. Yeah. And then
he
said,
you
wrote him. He's absolutely, yeah.
That's
how he said, take my money instead.
His
intention
was to kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
During
that time. Was that during his lifetime? Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it could be. I mean, the Medrash Shel Chatov also brings an idea here that one of the things that Esav tried to do was to involve Yishmael, that's his uncle Yishmael, to kill Yitzchak. Says, I'll get uncle Yishmael to kill Yitzchak, then I'll bump off Yaakov, then Yishmael and I can share the world, we'll both be the two world leaders, then I'll bump off uncle Yishmael and I'll rule the world. So people alive today doing this sort of thing. So that was Esau's plan. That's how the Medrash Shel Chatov describes it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to that. He turns around to Esau. He says, "You think I don't know what's going on in your mind?" Let me find this. Yeah, in Yirmiyah, another pasuk in Yirmiyah, chapter Mem Tes, pasuk Yud, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Ki ani chasafti es Esav, gileisi es mistarav." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know what's going on in Esau's mind. Gileisi es mistar. I can uncover all his very hidden thoughts. So this is Vayomer Esau b'libo. Of course, another Rasha where we have a similar expression is in Megillas Esther, won't be long now, where Ahasuerus says to Haman, what should we do? How should I honor the man who saved my life? Vayomer Haman b'libo. Haman thought to himself, lemi yachris ha-melech la'asin shikai yosem emeli, whom on earth can the king wish to honor more than me? He must mean me. So he says, get the horse and the crown and so on and so forth. Yeah, and take him for a ride around the town. Interestingly enough, there's almost an entire Omer de Gemara in Megillah, I forgot to check it up, which explains how we know that Megillas Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara brings a number of proofs, and then the Gemara says the best proof of all is this one. Mordechai and Esther wrote Vayomer Haman b'libo. How on earth could Mordechai and Esther know what was going on in Haman's mind? He didn't express his innermost thoughts. He didn't say what he was thinking. So it must be, says the Gemara, that Mordechai and Esther wrote Megillas Esther with Ruach HaKodesh, and the Gemara says that is the best proof of all of them. Another Rasha, Melachim Aleph, where we have the story of Yerovam ben Nevat, who was scared that he would lose the Melucha. People would come to the Beis Hamikdash at Yom Tov time, and I'll also go to the Beis Hamikdash at Yom Tov time, and not being descended from a Malchi Yehuda, I won't be able to sit in the Azara. But Rehavam, son of Shlomo, descended on the Malchi Yehuda, he is allowed to sit in the Azara. So that's when Yerovam ben Nevat cooked up his whole plan to stop people going to the Beis Hamikdash for Sukkot, and he said, we're going to hold Sukkot on the 15th of Cheshvan, not in Yerushalayim, but up in my Vedazara places in Beis El and Don, I think it was. Yeah? So he had this fear that he would be shown up as an imposter, or at least as a second-rate king, because Rehavam would be allowed to sit in the Azara, and he would not be. So Melachim Aleph, Pek Yud Beis Pasuk Kaf Vav, we have the Pasuk, Vayomer Yerovam b'libo. Yerovam thought to himself, Atan al Toshav HaMamlocha Levis David. The Melucha will go back to the house of David, and I'll lose it. I'll lose my position of prestige. And so he had this idea that people should not go to the Beis Hamikdash for Sukkot. And one more, and that is the one we just had before about Melucha Netzar in Yeshaya chapter Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. It's actually Pasuk Yud Gimel. This one. Yeah, Yud Gimel. They are talking about Nebuchadnezzar. They are talking about Vilvavcha. You said in your heart, Hashemayim e'ele, I'll go up to heavens, and I'll be Mimalachos Rekel, I'll go up higher than the stars, and so on and so forth, comparing himself to God. So here we have all these Rishoyim who say things to themselves. And that's echoed in our Pasuk when we have Amanovol Belibo, the novel that the Rasha says to himself. Now there is, let me get this right. Yeah, the this Medrash Shechatov is extended in the where is it? It is extended. Did I write it down? I didn't write it down. I think it's yes, I did. It's in the Bereishis Rabbah Simon Samach Zayin Oschess, where we have very similar ideas, where we have parallels of these, but this time with tzaddikim. Till now we've had the Rosha says Berlibo in his heart. Now we have all the various tzaddikim who are totally different. The Lashon of the Medrash is Aval tzaddikim libon bereshuson. The tzaddikim, their heart is in their control. They control the heart. The Rishoyim, the heart controls them. The tzaddikim, they control their heart. And we have a number of examples here. Shmuel Aleph. It's kedai to get the pesukim. In Shmuel Aleph we have it's Perek Aleph and it's Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk says, V'chana hi medaberes al libo. The tefillah of Chana. Medaberes al libo. With all these tzaddikim, it's not berlev, it's al or el. She's in control of the heart. Exactly. So, yeah. So she's, and this is her tefillah when Nebuch she was davening for a child. In Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kav Zayin, Pasuk Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer David el libo ata isofi yom echad v'yad shol. Yeah, so where David was concerned, he was going to be handed over to Shaul, and so he has this plan. It's actually a surprising plan. He runs off to Gath, where he spends time with Achish Melech Gath. He actually hides away there, and I think Achish looked after him. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also strange because
he was his enemy.
Enemy number one. They haven't killed Goliath. Yeah. And yes, he was able to hide away there. He knew that Shaul, that would be the last place Shaul would look for him.
Yeah.
And that's where he went. So again, Vayomer David El Libo, not Be Libo, but El Libo. He's talking to his heart because he has control over the heart. Now in Daniel, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. Sorry, loads of sukkim to check out here. Yeah, Pasuk Ches. Vayosem, oh yes, that's right. That's where Nebuchadnezzar wants to feed Daniel and his chaverim with the non-kosher food. Daniel is an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's in the royal palace, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to give him meals. And Daniel, of course, refuses to eat the non-kosher food, and he manages to persuade the chaps in charge of the kitchen, just give us, we're going vegetarian. And he's
strictly.
That's right. For I can't remember how long. I think even for a few months it was. I can't remember exactly how long. And after that time, the royal palace didn't believe that they would remain healthy and strong if all they're eating is little vegetables and nothing of any real protein. And of course, at the end of it, Daniel and his chaverim were far stronger than their colleagues who had eaten the royal meals. Vayosem Daniel, so here we are, Daniel Pekal Pasukhes, Vayosem Daniel Al Libo, Ashelig Yisko Al Bafasbad Hamelech. He made up his mind in his heart, he's not going to eat the food, the non-Christian food that's supplied by the Chanetzer, or the Mishnah, nor will he drink the wine. And one more, and that's in Parshas. Oh yes, one more, Parshas Noach, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this one is a prophet describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thoughts. It's Noach, it's chapter Chesem, it's Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayarach Hashem Etzriach HaNichlach Vayem Hashem El Libo. This is after the Mabul, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes up his mind he's not going to bring any more floods to the world. Lo Osef Edekale Lo Des Adama Babul Adam, I'm not going to destroy the world again. And that's how he makes up his mind not to do that. Vayem Hashem El Libo. Now, so all these tzaddikim, it's El Libo or Al Libo, and the Medrash Rabbah says that all they're doing is they're emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is Vayem Hashem El Libo. And so likewise, the tzaddikim also the same, El Libo or Al Libo, whereas the Rishoyim, it's always Bel Libo. Right, so that's the Medrash Shechetev on this pasuk. Yeah. Now a little bit about this word novel. Who exactly are we referring to when we learn about novel? So we learn Rashi learns it's Nebuchadnezzar, the Mitzvah David learns it's Nebuzaradon. There are a number of other Peshatim as well. And still with the Medrash Shechetev, it says it's a reference to Esav. Esav ein elokim. Esav didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein elokim, and he doesn't believe in any sort of deity at all. Why is Esav described as a novel? Says the Medrash Shochetov, because Esav was a mass murderer and was responsible for many nevelos, dead bodies, corpses, nevelos, because he killed so many people. So that's why he's called novel. Shemile kol ha'olam kulo b'nevelos. He filled the world with corpses because he was a murderer. That's one pshat. Then he brings another pshat because Esav will eventually have his comeuppance, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will loosen him from his foothold, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu will loosen a fruit from the tree before its time. This is this unripe fruit, and will make the food drop off the tree, make the fruits drop off the tree before its time. And he quotes a passage from Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches. We should reach it in about 300 years from now. Chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Mem Vav, where the Pasuk says, "Bnei Nechar Yibolu." The Rishayim, Bnei Nechar Yibolu, will be worn out. It's an expression of the same word, Yibolu, and novel. Same roots, nunveh slamas, they'll drop off the tree, and likewise Esav will be dropped off his perch, or pushed off his perch, off his strong point. Yeah. And then the Medrash goes on to say, what did he do so badly? Did he introduced places like the Dezorah and the amphitheatres, again, it was Rome, of course, and the amphitheatres again responsible for so many deaths of innocent people, and that's the idea of Novolk as a Novelis. Another pshat brought in the Medrash HaChatzot is that this word Novol is a reference to Lovon, because Novol and Lovon are anagrams of each other. Yeah. Oh, good. And I think that's it for the Medrash HaChatzot. Yeah. Of course, we have the possibility Am Novol v'lo Chochon. Yeah. Also in Hazinu. Yeah. It's chapter Lamed Beis Pasuk Vav. And Rashi there says, what's this idea? Klami Sola Am Novol v'lo Chochon. Says Rashi, She Shochachu Es He'osu Lohem. Klal Yisrael is described as Amnovo. They have forgotten all the good things I've done to them. They're ungrateful. They've forgotten all the favours that HaKadosh Baruch has done for them. And for that he calls them Amnovo. And that echoes the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it's chapter Kafe, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, where David describes the man whose real name was Novo, whom David had helped on a number of occasions, and who now refused to return any favours to David, refused to help David, and David says, "Vayoshev li ra'a tachas tova." He's repaid me with bad in place of all the good I've done him. Now he's ungracious to me. He's not in any way grateful to me. I've helped him, and now he's refusing to help me. So this man Novol, who is Novol Huva Novol Shemo, he is an ungrateful man. So it's very, it goes very well with that Rashi in Hazinu that Klal Yisrael is described as Amnovol, as being ungracious, because the word novel sums up someone who is an ungracious, an ungrateful person. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she was a tzaddikess, Avigail, and Dovid married her. Yeah, he died. He had a heart attack in the Asher Shuvah, I think it was, and then a while later Dovid married Avigail. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be a novel here because it's not showing gratitude to Hashem.
Yes.
You've done all the good Hashem has done
yes.
to you.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I'd forgotten that. Thank you. I forgot. That's right. So, what was it that he had? That's right. That's my thing. What was it what was it, according to Rashi, Nebuchadnezzar? Sorry, I just want to get the mic. I want to make sure it's on the microphone. Yeah, sorry, it is. Okay. What was it was Nebuchadnezzar ungrateful? Learning according to Rashi, it was Nebuchadnezzar. In what way is he ungrateful? So I can't remember where I saw this. It'll probably come up in my notes soon. That when Sanherib came to attack Eretz Yisrael, and of course suffered this major wipeout, because both who defeated sort of caused the panic in the camp of Sanherib, and they all died in one go, and it was a huge army. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Hei and Tzadi Vav, it's Machlokes just how many soldiers he brought, but it was a massive army, and they all died on, it was on Seder night, and they all died, Leil Shemum, they all died on that night. There were some survivors. How many survivors were there from Sanherib's army? A machlokes. I think one shot is 3, another is 4, another is 9, another is 10, another is 5. According to the Gemara, one of those survivors was Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the soldiers of Sanherib, and he survived. And look how ungrateful Nebuchadnezzar is. He's part of an army that's wiped out almost down to the last man. He is one of the very few survivors, and yet years later he returns to attack Eretz Yisrael again. So there's that's a lack of gratitude for you.
To Hashem.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But the same time, it comes to complete what he said after.
Yes. Yeah. So okay. But he could have had a change of heart after surviving such a massacre.
He was dedicated to the cause.
He was a loyal soldier. Yeah. Yeah. I've also written down here that which Rav Shimshon von Hirsch brings, the passage you mentioned, Johnny, Novel Tibol, where Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Novel Tibol, I've got the passage, it's Parshas Yisro, it's chapter Yud Ches, and it's passage Yud Ches. yesterday, etc. Novel Tibel Gamato Gamaho Om Hazeh Hashem Roch. You're getting worn out, and so the people are getting worn out waiting for you. So, and again, this word novel expression of someone who's totally worn out and exhausted. Yeah. Now there are the. Yeah. Okay. The Me'iri. The Me'iri learns the same as Rashi. It's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, and his Shechisu, his evil Alila, is a reference to the soldiers of Nebuchadnezzar. Good. Okay. Oh, now here is. Oh, here's the Medrash. Yeah. A Medrash. From the Tomas Ve'eliyahu Rabbah, and it's Perek Kaf Gimel, but I couldn't find it. I looked it up in the Tomas Ve'eliyahu and I couldn't find it. So this statement here quotes it. Yeah. V'lo yomar ha'odom v'libo. A person should not say to himself, Ein ha'atzmo to himself, Ein olam haba elatohu babohu. There's nothing in olam haba. It's just an empty, there's nothing there. A person should not speak in this way, and if a person would, what's the natural reaction from that? Lochein elech b'shuyu sleepy ve'ochal ve'eshter ve'ehene ve'olam hazeh. There's no such thing as olam haba. I'm just going to have a jolly good time in olam hazeh. Ve'acha kach, and after that, elech min olam hazeh, and I'll pass out of olam hazeh, and that'll be the end of it. It'll be the end of it. The imhu osa came, someone who lives his life in this way, not believing in olam haba, and therefore maximizing on his olam hazeh without a thought for the future. I love hakosavim about him. Our pasuk says, "Ama novel belibo in elokim." He's a novel. The man who says in elokim, there's such thing as hakadosh baruch hu. He doesn't believe in olam haba. The imhu tamid chacham, if he's a tamid chacham, it's of course a strange combination. Someone who's a tamid chacham that doesn't believe in olam haba. His wisdom and his understanding will be deprived from him. So there you are, that's how this Medrash Tanna Dvei Eliyahu learns on our pasuk Omar Novel Bilba in Elikim.
We say the Peirus in this world is Barzam
Azir. Yeah.
The Kemikayemus is
an Olam Haba.
So he's enjoying the Peirus in his
life. Oh, that's really good. Yeah, he's enjoying the Peirus, that's right. Yeah.
Because he realizes he's enjoying the Peirus.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. The Malbim on our pasuk. I'm just going to turn this tape over. Here. The Malbim on our pasuk. This is again. Sorry. The Malbim on our pasuk defines the difference between hishchisu and hisivu. Of course, the Malbim always looks at words which are similar but different, and he makes a difference between them. He says hishchisu is destruction. It's a person who sets out to destroy someone or something else. Yeah, the hashchis. And he says, for example, murderers and ganovim. These are the people, that's hishchisu. They're out to damage someone else. Whereas hisivu is to be disgusting, is where a person just does, he's disgusting within himself, and he indulges in appalling actions. And he says, for example, a person indulges in arayas, in immoral behavior, immorality. So that's hisivu, which isn't necessarily harming anybody else. But he's harming himself, he's not harming anyone else. Whereas hishchisu is where he's out to harm other people. Yeah, the Malbim has a very interesting pshat on the whole chapter. He says that this chapter was written to mark an occasion when David was victorious against some enemy. Which enemy? It's not specific. There was an enemy, and David was victorious against this enemy, and on the back of that, he wrote this chapter. Later on, when Sancheirav came to attack, got that slightly wrong. The later chapter, chapter Nun Gimel, which is almost the same as this one, that chapter is written in recognition of the Nes of Sancheirav. And how does it work? Says the Malbim, the David HaMelech, in order to mark the occasion of Sancheirav, took the same chapter that he'd written on a previous occasion, and used that chapter to celebrate the defeat of Sancheirav, but added in some extra special things to mark the occasion of Sancheirav. In other words, chapter Nun Gimel is indeed a real repetition of chapter Yud Daled, but with extras to mark the occasion of Sancheirav. And that's how he puts it. And he says, Omar novel, the libo in Elikim, is indeed that which comes later as well, of course, is Sancheiret, who is who insults HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Megadeth, he blasphemes against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, a very lovely vort here from the Sefer of Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Jashinsky, where he says, let's go straight, oh yes.
Oh.
Yes, I think so. Yes, they're at Dushinsky Hasidim. Yeah, yeah. So Rabbi Yosef Dushinsky, in his Sefer on Tehillim, he quotes the pasuk in Shemos, chapter base pasuk Yud Gimel, where Moshe Rabbeinu, where Dothan and Aviram have the two people, Shnei Anoshim Ivrim Nitzim. And one hits the other. Moshe Rabbeinu sees these two Yidden fighting. Moshe Rabbeinu sees them. They're Dothan and Aviram, as she explains. And he says to the Rasha, Moshe said to the Rasha, why did you hit your friend? Says Rashi, what's Pshat Re'echa? He is Rasha Kamoscha. He's a Rasha like you. Re'echa, he's a chaver. As long as you are a Rasha striking out against a tzaddik, which we understand that Rishonim like to lash out against tzaddikim. But here, no. There's two. Yeah, it's one of yours, exactly. There are two Rishonim shlogim zech. My father would say, I remember during the Iran-Iraq war, my father used to say, they'll be the matzliach zayin. So you have two Rishoyim fighting out against each other. Lama Sake Reyecha, you hit your friend, he's like you, he's a Rosha Kamoscha.
Maybe it's like you because he raised his hand, didn't he?
Yeah.
But raising your hand is bad as hitting.
So he wouldn't. So that's how he knew they're both Rishoyim.
He just raised his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Jashinsky says, we understand that Rishoyim might have something in for the Tzaddikim and want to lash out against Tzaddikim, but it's unusual when a Rasha lashes out against another Rasha. And he says, that's an apostle. Omar novel deliver in Elikim, Hishchisu, Hisiva Lila, they have bad actions, Ein Osetov, even against those people who do not do good. It's Rishoyim reacting to other Rishoyim. That's how he learns it, that it's unusual to have one Rasha lashing out against another Rasha. But indeed, that is the situation we have here. That's how Yosef Tzvi Jashinsky learns it. A very sweet vort, which is brought in the art scroll on Tehillim, in the name of Rebbe Eliyahu Meir Bloch, he says that one of the best ways we have of knowing that there is a God is that the Rishoyim are constantly having to persuade themselves that there is a God. I'm sorry, I got it wrong, that there is no God. Because, he says, the fact that the Rishoyim need to constantly convince, almost as they're trying desperately to convince themselves that there is no God. And they keep on and on and on about it, that there is no God. Says Rabbi Eliyahu Meir Bloch, Amar Novel Deliber Ein Elokim, here's the Rasha opening his big mouth again and saying that there is no God. That's the biggest indicator to us that there is a God, because they have to keep persuading themselves that there is no God. I heard a Rosh on the radio, I don't want to say his name in a year, on the radio saying recently, speaking out that there's no such thing as a God, and he is a scientist, well-known scientist. And he's getting on and on and on, and the same thought struck me. He's saying it again and again, he needs to convince himself. Yeah, that's it, yeah. The Al-Sheikh on this pasuk, on this whole chapter actually, has a few different pshatim as to who is this novel and who are these Rishoyim. He says it's a reference to Yishmael, that's one pshat, first pshat is Yishmael, and he says that Ein Osei Tov, in our pasuk, Hishkisu Hisivra Lila, the Rishoyim are doing bad, why? Because of us. Because we, Klal Yisrael, are Ein Osei Tov. We're not doing any good. If we would be better Yidden, that would call a halt to the Golus, And the Rishonim will not be able to continue doing any bad. But Hishkisu, Hisiv Alila, they do bad because we are in Osito. That's one shot that he brings. The second shot he brings is its reference to Haman. The novel in our pasuk is Haman. Why? Because Haman said, "Ein Elokim, no such thing as a God." He went to Achashverosh and said, "Yeshno am echad mefuzar meferad ben ramin." And the Gemara says the word Yeshno has the same letters as Yoshnu. They're sleeping, and he turns. The Haman said to Achashverosh, "The Jewish God is a hashlofen, a God. He's not interested in the Yidden, and they've all gone to sleep for a while, and it's safe to attack the Yidden." So he also, Haman was this kind of man who said, "Ein Elokim, no such God." There's no God, and the Al-Sheikh brings a medrash that in Shamayim during the Purim story, I'll get this right. Eliyahu Hanavi, that's a medrash which we can't, I don't really understand this at all, but we'll say it. Eliyahu Hanavi said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Please find a tzaddik. Klal Yisrael needs a zechus, find a tzaddik." And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Yeah, I found one. His name's Mordechai." But everybody else is Eino Sotov. It's along those lines. Everyone else is Eino Sotov, but there is one Sotov, and that's Mordechai. So that the Al-Sheikh learns this chapter is a reference to the times of the story of Haman and Achashverosh and Mordechai, and that this is and the novel in our pasuk is Haman himself.
When you say they say there is no God,
yeah,
they all worship about desires. In about desire, there's always acknowledgement that these are other gods, and there is a one higher God. So how do you reconcile to say when they say there is no God?
I guess, I don't know for sure, but I guess the answer is they're saying Ein Elokim. Ein Elokim means there's no real HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They might well believe in the Avodah Zarah, but that's not enough. No, they may well believe now in the Avodah Zarah, but their Avodah Zarah is not called Elokim, and they're denying Elokim. Oman of the believer in Elokim, they're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, we believe in Elohim. We believe in our God. So they believe in their Avodah Zarah, but that's not.
So they come to the point that there is no superior God.
Yeah.
Their God is all they need to know.
Something like that, yeah. I don't know for sure.
Strange.
I guess so, yeah.
You don't have to worry about what
they say. Yeah. Okay, now let me just see. Yeah. Okay, and I think that's it for Pasuk Aleph. Yeah, that's it for Pasuk Aleph. Should we carry on? Should we make a start on Pasuk Beis? Very good. Okay. Hashem Mishamayim Hishkif al Bnei Adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu from heaven looks down upon mankind. Liros to see Hayesh Maskil, is there anybody? What was your translation before?
Wise Maskil.
Maskil.
Understanding.
Perceptive. Thank you. Perceptive. Understanding. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Doresh Hesenekim, who seeks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, where are we? Pasuk Beis. Yeah. Now the Targum on Doresh Es Elokim, the Targum again adds on a little bit onto this. Lemechame, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gazing down on earth to see in Is Maskil, if there is a perceptive person, Tova Ufon Min Kodam Hashem, who demands learning from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ufan means limud, learning. Ufan, or teaching, if you like. Someone who's looking for Torah knowledge, Torah learning. So, the Pasuk just says Doresh Es Elokim, the Targum puts a little bit of a slant on that. Not just Doresh Es Elokim, but Doresh Ufan, someone who's looking for learning. Looking for Talmud Torah. Yeah. Now, the Matzidus David says on our pasuk that this word Elokim is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a dayan. Someone seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a shofet kol ha'aretz, to be the judge of the world. And that's not difficult to understand because we know we have a pasuk in this week's Sedra, Parshas Potim, here we have this week, it's chapter Kaf Beis, pasuk Zayin, where the pasuk says, V'nikrav bal habayis Elohim. I think I said that properly, yeah. Chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Zayin. The Balabais talking about Edin Torah comes Elho Elohim, and that word Elohim is not a reference to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's a reference to Judges. The Targum on that pasuk says Dayonayah, yeah, Judges. So we understand, we have the word Elohim here, it is a reference to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a reference to Hakadosh Baruch Hu acting as a shofet. Yeah, somebody seeking Hakadosh Baruch Hu to be a judge, to accept him as a judge. The Ibn Ezra points out something which is not difficult to understand. Hashem mishamayim hishkif. He looks down, his covered is up in shamayim, up on high. Kavodo b'mokim elyon. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's glory is up up on high in a high place.
Isn't my hashkif the bad?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Nearly every hashkifa is considered a bad thing, with the one exception of the one in the Menkot Shechol HaShemayim, in Kisavar. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I think that's considered
the only thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I had the same kasha. I don't know. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, well, maybe it's because Hakadosh Baruch Hu looking down, looking for someone good, and not finding anybody. Because, look, the Pasuk says he doesn't find anybody. Yeah, he's looking down, looking for a tzaddik, he doesn't find anyone. Look, Pasuk Gimel, Hakol Sar, everybody's turned away, Yachtav Nelocha, everyone's gone up, and Enos Etot, Ein Gamecha, there's actually not one good person. So maybe that's...
So it's kind of like Yashkeit in the end.
Yeah, maybe that's how we can learn it, that it's considered bad. So the Rashi and the Adam Mepharshim, and many Adam Mepharshim learn that we're still talking about the Ruach HaNetzah, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down on the Ruach HaNetzah's army, looking for a good person and failing to find one. Not one of the Ruach HaNetzah soldiers was good, they were all really bad, not interested in it didn't make any attempt to stop the Ruach HaNetzah's invasion. However, the Tosfos Rid, in his Pirush on Tehillim, I always mention this because I had it on my shelf and never knew I had it on my shelf until my son Yaakov Chaim discovered it. The name is Rabbi Yishaya from Turin. Rabbi Yishaya, one of the Rishonim, he points out that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down on Klal Yisrael. Different shot. Not looking down, as Rashi learned, not looking down at the Nebuchadnezzar's army, looking for a good person, but looking at Klal Yisrael, trying to find someone, a good person among Klal Yisrael, who will serve as a zechus for the rest of Klal Yisrael against the enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fails to find someone. Looking for something and failing to find someone. Yeah, similar chat to what we heard from the Elsheikh, looking where Elio was looking for a tzaddik and Moshe Rabbeinu said, I found Mordechai.
Yeah. Looking for another Abraham, someone comes to the conclusion of his own accord that there is a God.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking for. Because we've said, someone says, Ain Elohim.
So
that's what the.
So we're looking for someone who can counter that.
Who, of his own accord, has come to the conclusion.
To recognize the Kashrah. Yeah.
That's what he's looking for. Wasn't a single worthy person taking.
Well, wait a minute. This is depending on how you learn. Rashi learns it's Ruach HaNetzah in Baris Rishon. And not finding a good person, according to Rashi, means not finding a good person among the Nebuchadnezzar soldiers.
Sure.
But others we learn at different times in history.
Not the Yidden's thing. In time the first mission, there wasn't a single.
How to say? How to say? Sinasrinim was the second bias. First one was because of murder. Avodah Zarah and Gilead Arayos.
Okay. This word Ishkif is really strange, isn't it? He's looking down to see good in men.
Yeah.
And we talk about Yashkif always means bad.
Something bad. I don't really know the answer, but I guess the answer is because it's a bad outcome, not finding anybody.
The result of the ark, the looking down, is not going to be good. The implication is there,
Maybe
it's because of him having to look down, there's nobody to elevate themselves up.
He has to look down.
If there was anybody, their presence was gone.
Yeah.
When the Shemaim is up there, we always
We're always there, Chuck.
The corporate begins a response to above. And if you go and have a response from above first, it shows the lack of a corporate below.
I'll just say one more shot on this. We can finish the pasuk. We can actually finish it. Yeah, got a few minutes, still we can finish it. The Meiri points out that our pasuk uses the expression of Bnei Odom. Hashem Shemayim Hishkif al Bnei Odom. Says the Meiri, Bnei Odom means bad people. The expression Bnei Odom itself means bad people, and he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim chapter Mem Tes pasuk Gimel, which we say at a shiva, Gam Bnei Odom, Gam Bnei Ish, Yachad Oshiv Evian. It's a pasuk close to my heart because it's the pasuk for the name Gershon, beginning with the Gimel, Gam Bnei Odom, Gam Bnei Ish, Yachad Oshiv Evian, finishing with the Nun, Gershon. So that's the pasuk I say. Yeah. So Gam Bnei Odom, Gam Bnei Ish. Says the Meiri, Bnei Odom means bad people, Bnei Ish means good people. So says the Meiri on our pasuk that here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at man, he's looking down on the people, and the people are all bad. They're Bnei Odom, they're a rotten bunch. Yeah? no good people at all. He quotes that pasuk, Gam Bnei Odom, Gam Bnei Ish, Yachad Oshiv Evian. Yeah. They call her Adam. Oh, just that again, in case it come out.
Viva Ish.
On of the
Mikal Adam.
Mikal Adam, yeah. Yeah. So he was the Ish and everyone else was Adam. I don't know. Yeah. Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky in his Pirush on Tehillim, he explains as follows. He says, when you want to judge a person's madriga, he says it's not enough to look at the person, because you don't know just how genuine that person is. Maybe he's doing good deeds, but you can't tell how genuine he is until you look at his children. When you see his children, you see how the children are working out, then that will reflect back on the father, and then that way you'll see on the madriga of the father. So the madriga of the child is a true reflection of the madriga of the father. So he says that's why the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down with the Lashon, Hashem Yishman Hishkif al Bnei Odom. He's not looking at the person, he's looking at the Bnei Odom, at the children of the person, to see how he works, how that person works out. That's his, isn't that beautiful?
He's got
and the Yaakov. Judging the father by the child. That's right. That'll give you an indicator. It's a good indicator on the madriga of the father to look at the madriga of the children. That's Bnei Odom. Isn't it? A nice thought. Yeah.
Avram and Yitzhak had Mashiach.
Yeah.
Then they're still the office, regardless of what the strength of their children are up to.
Yeah.
So it doesn't reflect on their ultimate worth.
Yeah.
And then there are children who are much superior to their parents.
Yeah.
They are exceptions to the rule.
Yaakov criticized his children. Yaakov couldn't restrain himself from some of them.
Yeah, because they all did the
Shiva. That's an easy answer, you know.
Well, I'll finish off with one short thought here, still from Rav Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, where he quotes the pasuk in Parashat Noach. It's chapter Yudalef pasuk Hey. Vayirat Hashem Lewis says Ives Amigdol. Well, Kosh Baruch Hu comes down to look at the tower built by the Zohar Haflava. Asher Bonu Bnei HaOdom, built by Bnei HaOdom people. So Rashi.
B'nei
Ha'odom, B'nei Ha'odom. So Rashi asked the Kasha, what do you mean B'nei Ha'odom? Well, of course it was built by humans. Who else? Rashi was quite funny. Ela B'nei Mi, Shema B'nei Chamerim, or Gemalim. You think this was built by the children of donkeys and the camels? Because it was built by human beings. Ela B'nei Ha'odom, Horishon. We're talking about the descendants of the original Adam Horishon, Shekofa Es Hatova. Because Adam HaRishon was ungracious. He had showed a lack of gratitude. For Omar, he said, Ha'isha Shenosafe Mazi, this woman whom you gave me, she's the one, I ate from the Tadas because she gave it to me. Blaming Chava and not showing gratitude for his wife.
And I will eat again.
Yeah?
It makes it even worse.
Yeah. I don't care, I'll carry on eating.
Yeah.
And I will
make it worse.
Yeah.
This is real.
Yeah. So Rashi points out that here, the Zohar HaFlaga, also, they are called B'nai Ha'odom, because they, like Odom, was a kofui tova, denied, was ungracious, or well, showed a lack of gratitude. So to these people, they were their descendants from those who were saved from the Mabul, and the Mabul was not that much back in time. They should have some gratitude that they survived and that they're around to tell the tale. But no, they build this tower to attack HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're showing lack of gratitude, and therefore they're called B'nei Ha'odom. Says Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Dushinsky, that's why we have an our pasuk as well, B'nei Odom. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, Hishkib al B'nei Odom. Why? He says, learning according to Rashi, that this chapter, this novel, is Nebuchadnezzar should have shown gratitude because he survived the war when Sancheirib came to attack, and he was one of the survivors, as we mentioned. This is where it came from. Yeah, I couldn't remember how to say it. So this is this because he was a survivor from Sancheirib's army, he should have shown gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But no, he came back of his own accord to invade Eretz Yisrael and destroy the Beit HaMikdash later. So therefore, he is also an ungrateful individual. And therefore, what Pasuk refers to him as B'nai Odom, as someone who is B'nai Odom, like Odom HaRishon was ungrateful, so too he is ungrateful. Okay, we'll finish Pasuk Beis. I was hoping we'd get to 2 psukim at least. So we've done it. Oh.